In these tough economic times, many charity balls have been canceled or significantly toned down. Well, one charity ball is king in Washington, D.C. It's the Opera Ball, and its guest list is a who's who of Washington: Supreme Court justices, cabinet members, senators, congressmen, even the ship captain who was held hostage by Somali pirates. This week's ball has had to trim its sails. NPR's Nina Totenberg, opera lover, daughter of a musician, and soprano manque, has this story.
That's the Washington National Opera's current production of Puccini's Turandot, complete with dancers, acrobats, a huge chorus, lush sets and costumes, and gonzo stars from Russia to Argentina. Multiple productions like this come with a $30 million-plus annual price tag that also pays for an outreach program for local schools and a school to train the next generation of opera stars.
I've always said it's the height of Western civilization, opera. It brings together theater, music, everything.
For Washington National Opera President Kenneth Feinberg, opera is his passion and salvation. In the aftermath of 9/11, when he was put in charge of negotiating money settlements for the families of victims, opera was the way he dealt with the sadness and the horror.
I would escape by going to any local opera company, big, small, and just try and lose myself for a few hours, replenish the batteries by listening to opera.
Now, in an era of belt tightening, funding and promoting a grandiose art form is a tricky business, especially when you have $150,000 less to spend on the ball this year. Yes, $150,000 less, which leaves a paltry $250,000.
In order to make millions of dollars, you have to make sure that you provide our would-be benefactors with a memorable evening.
When people walk in, we want them to go, wow.
Susan Lehrman is the chairman and underwriter of the cost of the Opera Ball.
Every time they turn a corner, they'll see something else and they'll go, wow.
This year's Opera Ball is at the spare Bauhaus-style German embassy residence.
I'm Klaus Chariot, the German ambassador to the United States, and we are standing here at the German residence in Washington, D.C.
We're standing above a huge terraced garden that looks all the way across Washington to the Potomac River and Virginia on the other side. This year's ball is a very classy 15-ring circus with fountains dancing to Wagner, a champagne bar, cakes that are replicas of the world's opera houses, and a recreation of the Berlin Wall on this 20th anniversary of it being torn down.
In one of the side rooms, you will see a movie showing not only how the wall came down, but also Maestro Rostropovich playing his cello in front of the wall.
The Washington National Opera staff spends months working on every detail of the ball. For 50 years, it's been a joint production with the world's ambassadors posted in Washington. The evening starts with small dinners at more than 24 embassies around town and merges into a formal ball. This year's extravaganza features greeters dressed in costumes from German operas, from Mozart to Wagner. Across town, Washington National Opera costume designer Marcia LeBeouf leads me into the bowels of what she calls the Magic Factory.
We don't let very many people down here.
The 25,000-square-foot costume-making and storage area, complete with 10,000 pieces and an army of 25 stitchers, drapers, and fitters. LeBeouf and event planner Patty Humphrey talk about using the headdress worn by the Queen of the Night in the last production of The Magic Flute.
She comes in suspended on a moon or something.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just an absolutely fabulous entrance. I don't want the entrance.
I don't think we can give you the moon, Patty, no. But we might be able to give you the stars.
Okay, we'll go for that.
I don't have that headdress here anymore. Mm-hmm. I can either get it or we can come up with something.
The ball planners are trying to make do without anyone realizing they're spending a lot less. Unlike last year's ball at the French Embassy, this one is not sold out yet. Big donors have filled in some of the financial void. As for the rest, it's all an illusion to keep the opera alive. And if you, dear listener, are rolling your eyes, you may not realize that lots of the songs you hear in the movies or on TV or even kids' cartoons are from the opera.
Kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit. killed a rabbit. Oh, mighty warrior.
Bugs Bunny sang Wagner. Here Comes the Bride is Wagner 2. And then there's Toreador from Bizet's Carmen.
Toreador, don't spit on the flora. Use the cuspidora.
Nina Tuttenberg, NPR News, Washington.
We could sing these credits, but we won't. Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Allison McAdam, and produced by Neil Carruth. The technical director is Ivan Burketh, assisted by Peter Alina. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
At the Washington desk, Ron Elving, Beth Donovan, Ken Rudin, Kathy Shaw, Barbara Campbell, Matoni Maturi, and Evie Stone. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm a few bars, Robert. I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.